Let me pray for us. Please join me. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the creator of life and the sustainer and the redeemer. God, thank you so much for your amazing grace, your amazing love, your sovereign love over us, God. Thank you, Lord, for your power in us to change us, Lord. Thank you for your word. God, we acknowledge that we need you and that we have you and that you're faithful. God, your ways are so wonderful. We ask you, Lord, to have your way in this moment as we share your word, God. We pray for your spirit to move in power. God, help us to hear your word and the power of your spirit, to receive it and be changed by it. Lord, more than anything, we ask that Jesus would be glorified. It's in his name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, well, as we get started today, I've got a few. Oh, am I on? It says I am. There's a red button, something. Yeah. So thank you guys for your patience as we're updating our technology back here and working through things. We're so blessed to be able to do that. I'll use my teacher voice. I want to start with a question today. What do you think of when you hear the word power? What do you think of when you hear the word power? Maybe you think of a river. Maybe you think of things that are constructive. You know, a river can be dammed and used to supply energy for millions of families. Or there can be flooding, and it can cause a great deal of damage. Maybe you think of water. Or maybe you think of a storm. Living here in Indiana this time of year, you might think of lightning storms and tornadoes and all those things. When I was younger, very foolishly, I used to do some storm chasing as an amateur. It's not something you should do as an amateur. Fortunately, I did not get killed, and the Lord was looking out for me very graciously and mercifully. Got closer to a tornado than I probably should have one time. Maybe you think of storms. Maybe you think of energy, nuclear energy, or some other form of energy when you think about power. Or if you've been in the military, perhaps you think about military might. You think of warships or planes, weapons. Or if you're an athlete, maybe you think of athletic power. I played a little bit of high school football, but I was not powerful either. I was the next to the smallest guy on the team, and it was a miracle I survived. But maybe that's what you think of. When you hear the word power, you think of athletic strength. Well, today we're finishing a three-week series that we titled Responding to the Risen King, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit within. The Holy Spirit within, who is the power that we need. We're going to look at 1 John. If you turn your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 23. There is a wonderful Greek word, dunamis. And our English word dynamite comes from that. It's actually from dunamis and a suffix from Swedish that means like a mineral or a substance of power. But in the Bible, in the New Testament, we see the word power. It's dunamis. And it means power, might, strength, and there's even a sense of the miraculous. It is a supernatural power, often, depending on the context, a supernatural strength. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he said, "You will receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and to the ends of the earth and Samaria." And Jesus, in declaring this power, and him saying, in the Holy Spirit, you're going to have this power that's going to come upon you, it was in connection with this assignment to be witnesses. Jesus giving his followers and us as his followers an assignment to be witnesses for him. And he says, you have power in the Holy Spirit for this assignment. So in the context of this, we might say that biblically, in the way that Jesus used it here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, power means Jesus has given us what we need to complete our assignment that he gives us. God wants you to be successful. Did you know that? He doesn't want you. He gives us assignments that when you hear the assignment from him, he says, I want you to live in a way that is Christ-like and that honors me and that knows me and makes me known to the people in your life. And you know your weaknesses and your failings, and you think he is talking to the wrong person. But he has given us his Holy Spirit. He has given us power to complete that assignment, to be his witnesses, to be his people, to be people that reflect him, that are salt and light in this world. You know, sometimes in Christian circles we think, well, I need to try hard to be Christian-y. You know, I need to try hard to look moral. I need to give my best effort. I need to suck it up and be really spiritual looking. And that is not at all the assignment. The assignment is for us to be changed, for us to be new, to live out this newness of life that he's declared we already have. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. You have this new life in you. But he says, I want you to go forward and live this out, a life of change, a life of difference, and be ambassadors. And God assures us we have this power. We have this power within us. And it's not only power for the sake of that mission, but even to survive the test. You know, we're in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle in this world. There's opposition. There's spiritual opposition from the enemy, from Satan. There's spiritual opposition from this world that is opposed to Christ. There's spiritual opposition. There's opposition even within our flesh, of our old sin nature that wants to push back against God's calling in our life. But God says, I have given you my Holy Spirit so that you can overcome.
Yeah.
So that you can be successful. We're going to see here in a moment in chapter 4, verse 4. The Apostle John wrote, the one who is in you is greater.
Yeah.
He is greater than he who is in the world. So starting here in verse 23 in 1 John 3. God's word says, this is his command. This is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. The one who keeps his command lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. He has given us his Spirit. You know, during this service, despite the glitch at the beginning, we do have amplification. Part of the reason you can hear what was being said for the baptisms today is we have a microphone up there and it's connected with an amplification system. Well, God says, I have given you power. I've given you this amplification within you. I've given you a voice in the Holy Spirit to remind you of what you learned from Scripture and to timely remind you of what Jesus has said, and for you to be able to speak that in a way that impacts people, to be a witness for him, to speak the truth of the gospel. Even though maybe you think, well, I'm weak. I don't have power to be a powerful witness for Jesus. How can I make a difference? And he says, I have given you Holy Spirit amplification. I've given you power so that you can speak the truth to people, that you can tell the difference that Jesus makes in your life. The Apostle John here commanding these Christians, he says, believe in Jesus Christ. That's the command of God. Believe in Jesus Christ, no matter what your weaknesses are, no matter what kind of day you're having, no matter what kind of pushback there is from the world. Maybe you're in a family where you're the only follower of Jesus, and other people push back against you when you tell them the truth about who the Son of God is, or maybe in your workplace, or the pushback even from your flesh when you have a day when you're just not who you ought to be in Christ. And there's this pushback, but there's still this command, keep believing in Jesus. Keep trusting in Jesus Christ and love one another. Sometimes that's the tough part of that command, love one another. Because he's not talking about loving the way the world loves. He's not saying love when people are lovable. He's not saying love in a way that just kind of looks loving. He's saying love with the love of Jesus Christ. With a radical, selfless, sacrificial love that is unconditional. No matter how somebody is treating you, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, love. Love with the love of Christ. And God expects us to meet those expectations. When he says, I want you, no matter what your circumstance, to have faith in the Son of God, no matter what your circumstance, no matter how people are treating you, no matter how your brothers and sisters maybe let you down. Anybody else ever have any church hurt? Where somebody was messy, or maybe you were messy? I mean, God is perfect. We're not. Sometimes we let each other down. People get their feelings hurt. There's miscommunications. But God still says, listen, no matter what people say or do, He expects us, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to keep trusting in Jesus and keep loving one another. You know, there's times where, I mean, it's easy for me to stand up here. It's not easy. In Him, it's easy. But I can get up here and I can share the Word of God with you and I can preach. It is harder to apply. It's harder to live it out than to speak it. And there are times that in my flesh, I mean, God just convicts me. And it's so much easier to say, and then when I actually have to live it out, when the rubber meets the road, I think, God, I'm so weak. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I fail so much, and you know, I know my weaknesses, and there's times I feel unlovable, I don't feel that valuable. Do you guys ever struggle with your worth? Even though you're in Christ, you have a day where you're just really struggling.
That's right.
God, how can He love me? You know, you let Him down again, maybe, like I do sometimes. And I'm so glad that the love of God is rooted in His sovereignty. It is not rooted in who you are. Praise God, you are who you are in Jesus Christ, that you are beloved sons and daughters. But know this, it is out of His sovereign love. It's not because you got it together. You have value because He loves you. He doesn't love you because you're perfect or valuable. But He loves you. You know, the greatest thing you have going for you today, I don't know where you guys are on your spiritual journey, but the greatest thing you have going today, God loves you. That's the greatest thing in my life. God loves me. No matter what, He loves me. That is so wonderful to know. I heard a preacher tell a story of a man named Buckner Fanning. And he told a story during a sermon about a man who lost his dog. And this man took out an ad in the newspaper. And the ad went something like this. It said, lost dog, reward offered, mixed breed, limps due to an automobile accident, arthritic condition, blind in one eye, large patches of fur missing due to mange, doesn't hear well, answers to the name of Lucky. There's days I feel like that dog. I'm so glad the Lord sought me. Even though sometimes I'm just a mangy lucky dog. Yeah. But you know what? That's not true. We're not lucky dogs. We're blessed children of God. He loves us so much. We are blessed. We are so blessed. And He, in saving us, He knows our weaknesses. He knows our flesh. He knows our failings. And that's why He gives us His Spirit. That's part of the reason. He knows, and then He calls us to live the Christian life. Because He knows that we can't do it without Him. But we don't have to. He's faithful. And He gives us Himself. He gives us His Spirit. Let's continue here in chapter 4, verse 1. And John is not only emphatic as he's writing here about what they are to believe, but what they are to not believe. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone into the world. This is how you can recognize, hear me, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is even now already in this world. John's saying to these believers, listen, you're going to have to distinguish between truth and error. There are forces out there. There are teachers out there that will lead you astray, that are listening to other spirits that are not filled with the Holy Spirit. There are false prophets. And John gave them this one condition. This is not the only. You can look at other references in the Bible. But he gave this one condition that you can look at. And by this, the church can recognize by this if a teacher is from God or not. That if they acknowledge Jesus is the Christ, He is the Son of God, He is the incarnate God, God made flesh. If they acknowledge that, at least you know they've got that right. Mm-hmm. But if they deny any part of that, turn away from them.
Amen.
They're a deceiver. Every spirit or every teacher who is teaching out there on internet, saying they're a Christian and quoting verses, they are not all necessarily sent from God. And if they deny the incarnation, turn them off. Don't listen. It's a lie. Then in verse 4, John writes, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world."
Amen.
So John's saying, listen, he's saying that a true teacher of God, somebody who really is sent from God to preach and teach the word, you can also identify them by those who are surrounded. And listen, you know, the Bible says that people who are still in the flesh, that they surround themselves with teachers who are saying what their itching ears want to hear, that are okay with them compromising with sin, that are okay with them still walking, holding hands with the devil, that are not calling them to repentance, that are not speaking the truth. And he says, listen, the Holy Spirit that is within the church is greater than the one who's out there deceiving people. So if you have a congregation who loves the Word of God and recognizes it as authoritative, recognizes it as the Word of God, and they are listening to a preacher or a teacher, and they can affirm for themselves because they are looking at the Scriptures and they're saying, yes, that lines up with the Word, that also is a test to know if what's taught is true or not. Because if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's a lie. And so John says, you, brothers and sisters, these are genuine Christians that he's addressing here. You're children of God. You have overcome the false teachers because you know the Scriptures. And that is so important. Our big idea from this passage today, if you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit within you.
Yeah.
If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit within you. And if you are not a Christian, you do not. And we have got to lay hold of this. And it's got to go beyond the mind. It's got to go to actionable faith that we live out. There's many years of my Christian life early on that I knew this as a biblical truth. But as far as living out a dependency and a receiving of God's leading by the Holy Spirit, in faith, I didn't seek that on a daily basis. I just thought, well, that's some truth, and I can look at some Scriptures and tell you why that's so. But that's different from living it out. That's different from saying, before I read this passage, I am so grateful I have the Holy Spirit and I need to ask Him, open the eyes of my heart, help me to see Jesus in this passage, teach me what you want to teach me, change me the way you want to change me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in charge here, not me. I'm not going to sit in judgment over the text in my flesh. God is with me and He's going to guide me as I look at that. Or as you go to witness to somebody and you start getting anxious about it, and you know God's leading you to talk to this person about Jesus and share the gospel, and we have the Holy Spirit, we need to pause and not try to walk that out in our own thinking, in our own power, but to stop and understand God's not calling on me and my resources. He's given me the resource of Himself. I have the Holy Spirit within me to be able to share the Scripture with this person. He's the one who's going to open their heart to the gospel. We need to recognize that. As believers, we have the Holy Spirit within. Again, verses 23 and 24 there. This is His command. This is God's command. To believe in the name of His Son. That means to believe in the person, the character of Jesus Christ. To believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He has commanded us. And the one who keeps God's commands lives in Him, and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know this by the Spirit that He has given us. There's a lot of controversy and confusion over the Holy Spirit indwelling us. You know, one of the blessings of my life since God saved me many years ago, I know some of you have spent many years longer, but it was in the last century. One of the blessings in my life, and it's been challenging, I've been part of so many different tribes of Christians that have so many different ways that they look at the Scriptures and what they teach and believe about the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and there's so much confusion out there sometimes. Sometimes, I know some believers in some camps, they don't even want to talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, they have had so many people try to push something upon them of what they believe about the Holy Spirit, they're just like, I don't want to argue about it, so I don't want to talk about it. But we need to. Having the indwelling Holy Spirit is crucial to the Christian life.
Amen.
It's, you know, we have to understand that this is an area that we need to get into the scriptures and understand that for us to live out this relationship with God, He's given us Himself. And we need Him, and He's faithful. You have the Holy Spirit in residence if you were a Christian. He does not come and go. He is with you. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you always. And He's with you in the person of the Holy Spirit. If you have trusted in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit forever.
Yeah.
Forever. Now, He doesn't always have all of you. There are days. I know I have all of Him. But there's days that He doesn't have all of us. And we need to maybe repent or just slow down and say, God, forgive me because I'm trying to just operate my agenda today instead of your agenda. I'm not listening well enough. And we need to slow down and listen to the Holy Spirit. Let Him lead us. But it is impossible to be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. So if you're a child of God today, you have the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Now Jesus promised the Comforter to be with us always. The only way He can fulfill that promise is in the giving of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul in Colossians, he talked about Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have the Spirit of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. And it's so clear from Scripture, but we still struggle with it. We still get confused about it. You know, when I look at the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, what God's Word has to say, one of the questions I like to stop and pause is just say, what does this tell me about God? Knowing that He has given us His Holy Spirit, what does this teach me about God, about His character? He loves me. He loves you. That's why He gives you Himself. And He wants you to have an eternal relationship with Him and to trust Him. And every day, to live in that relationship, He wants to be with you every day. Even when you're at your worst or your best, it doesn't matter. He loves you. You're always a dearly loved child if you've trusted in Him. So how can I know? I see it in the Scriptures. I hear what you're saying, Pastor. How can I know? And I have a lot of people ask me, how can I know, Pastor? Is it a feeling? How do I know I have the Holy Spirit? Do I speak in tongues? Is there a certain sign? How do I know this? One of the ways from Scripture that you can know this, the Holy Spirit empowers us to trust in Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to trust in Christ. Verse 23, this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. In John 14, 26, it says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, Jesus said, He will teach you all the things and bring to your remembrance everything that I've said to you. He said the Spirit would testify to you, to your spirit, about the truth and would bring glory to Him in John 16, bring glory to Jesus. If you have come to that place where you used to be one way and you called upon the name of the Lord and you are new, if you have come to that place where you have obeyed the command of God, which is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, be saved. If you have obeyed that, your flesh did not obey that. You and yourself could not have gone from a life of rebellion with your back turned on God, running away from Him, to a place of running toward Jesus. That could not have happened without God turning you that direction. The Holy Spirit did that in you. Yeah. We don't do that in our... And He gets the glory for that. You don't get credit for that. You didn't wake up one day and suddenly get smart and say, oh, I need to stop being in rebellion to be a sinner. I need to lay down my weapons of rebellion against God and I need to suddenly try to live for Him now. That wasn't you, that was Him. He did that. The Holy Spirit drew you to the heart of the Father and He gets the glory for that. You know, there's times that we think we were just kind of merrily walking through life like everybody else. We heard the good news. Kind of figured it out. Oh yeah, that makes sense. I think I'll believe that. There's a destination in the gospel message. There's this destination of forgiveness and cleansing and salvation. And it just makes sense to me. I want to take that roadmap of the gospel and I want to wind up in this good place of salvation. Listen, What happened when you heard the gospel is you got your hands off the wheel. You didn't suddenly wise up and drive yourself to salvation. The Holy Spirit took over and took you there.
Amen.
He did it. And if you come to salvation at all, it is because God's Spirit has brought you to Christ. You have the Holy Spirit within you for you to trust in Jesus. Only God can do that. And He has given you His Spirit. How can I know the Holy Spirit is within me? The Holy Spirit empowers us to love one another. The Holy Spirit empowers us to love one another. Verse 23, to love one another as He has commanded us. To love one another as He has commanded us. Our fellowship with God, one of the things that validates that or invalidates that, it's not through some flashy spiritual gift, it's through love. It's through genuine Christian love for each other. Before my wife and I were married, I used to live in Greentown in an old house that had a boiler heating system. Anybody else remember boiler heaters in your homes? If you're not familiar with them, there was this, out in the garage, this huge boiler tank, and it would have this water that heated up to boiling temperature, and then it would go through these pipes, and it would go into these registers in the house, and the steam, the hot water steam would heat your rooms, and it would get hot. I mean, it did a great job. But if you wanted to see how your boiler system is doing, you couldn't open that boiler tank, kind of like in your car. You know, if that radiator's hot, you better not touch that cap, right? Something bad's going to happen if you do that. And you couldn't open up that boiler, but that huge boiler tank had a little gauge on it, an indicator. And you could look at that gauge, and it would show the water pressure and the water level. Love is God's gauge to let you know the presence and power of the Holy Spirit within you. I mean, I know there's a worldly version of love, but I mean God's love. That unconditional love of God. And if you love with that kind of love, that is an indicator of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We, of course, don't always get it right. Like I said, we've got the Holy Spirit. He doesn't always have us. My wife has learned the truth of this. There's times where maybe my attitude with her is a little off. Maybe I'm stressed out about something and I'm not very patient and I snap at her or something, and she knows it's not personal. It's not even the situation. She'll pause and she'll say, you haven't had your time with the Lord this morning, have you? And I have to confess, you're right, I haven't. And she's like, go. Go. Spend time with Him. Let Him love on you so that you can come back and love me. And she says it in a gentler way than that. Amen. But that's the truth. It's the truth. And we always have that power to love each other. We always have that. But sometimes we're just not walking it out. But we can. God is faithful. And we can take that time to withdraw and just receive that love and let Him love those around us. That's one of my prayers almost every day. God, how do you want to love me today? Open my eyes. Help me to see it. Help me to praise you for it, whatever that is. And then, God, how do you want to love on the people in my life today through me? Wonderful prayer. He answers it. And you'll find yourself loving somebody in a way that's not quite as selfish. That you don't really get anything out of it. Maybe it even costs you something. But it's worth it. That joy that you feel when the Holy Spirit's loving people through you. How can I know that the Holy Spirit is within me? What's the sign of that? Love. Love, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. If He is alive in you, that fruit growing. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Our third and final point today from this passage, the Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome. The Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome. You, dear children, are from God, and you have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Amen?
Amen?
There's a place in the Pacific Ocean, the Mariana Trench. Are you guys familiar with the Mariana Trench? Maybe you've read about that. Mm-hmm. It's the deepest place on Earth in the oceans. It goes 7 miles down under sea level. We've had submarines go down, I think, a couple miles into that. And then there was a submersible that went down, I think, the whole 7 miles a long time ago in the 60s. The submarines that go down there, they take pictures of what's going on, and they, as they're down there, I've seen pictures of fish 2 miles down, and they're just like fish that you would go and catch out of Kokomo Reservoir. I mean, they're a different type, but they don't have armor on, you know. Those submarines, they have thick steel that protects them from that water pressure, which is incredible, 2 miles down in the ocean. But those fish just have normal, thin fish scales like any other fish. You know, I look at that, I think, how does that fish not get crushed? Because if that submarine didn't have that incredibly strong steel structure, everybody in that sub would die. Yeah. They would be crushed by that pressure, but those little fish are fine. They have a pressure inside of them that's equal to the pressure on the outside, so that it can't crush them. One of the beauties of the Christian life in giving us the Holy Spirit, God has given us a strength and a power that is equal to the task that comes against us. That's equal to any opposition. And because of that, we can walk in freedom. You know, the Bible says walk in freedom. God doesn't want us to put up walls with everybody and to be scared, and, you know, maybe because they don't say nice things about Christians. He doesn't want us to put up barriers to deal with that pressure. He wants us to understand the one who is in you is greater. You don't have to be afraid of that. You don't have to put up walls with people. God is able to handle that. When we understand that greater is He who is in us, that He is equal to the task, not only in dealing with messy people who say mean things about Christians, but even with those temptations that come at us. Those sin strongholds that we maybe have given in to again and again. Listen, God can set you free. Greater is He who is in you. When that temptation comes, that problem, that drama, that hurt, whatever it is, He doesn't want us to try to deal with it in our flesh or to work it out in our own thinking or our own strength. He's given us His Spirit. And He says, you can walk through this life in freedom, and you can walk in power, and you can walk in life in the Holy Spirit, and you don't have to be scared. You don't have to put up walls. The same Lord Jesus that you trusted in to save you from yourself and from sin, to take you from a person heading towards hell and to give you newness of life, the same Jesus that you trusted in to do that is present in the person of the Holy Spirit. And if you can trust Him with your soul, if you can trust Him to forgive you, if you can trust Him for salvation, then you can trust Him to overcome anything in your life. Yeah. To overcome the sin, to overcome the hurts, to overcome hatred, to overcome the opposition. You have a spirit within you, but does He have control? You know, we come to God, we receive His grace through faith. Our salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian life is also lived in faith in God, not in ourselves. So continually, daily, living out the Christian life, taking time, just slowing down, having a time with the Lord. And I like to take time in the morning to say, God, in this moment, I submit my mind to You. I commit my heart to You. I give You my voice. I give You my emotions. I give You my thoughts and my actions today. I give You my agenda and my thoughts and my fears and my relationships. Everything, God. Have Your way in my life. Have Your way in me and everything today. And entrust that to the Holy Spirit. Not to try to make sense of it on my own, because that doesn't go well. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Word of God says that the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
liberty.
Amen. There is liberty. There's freedom. There is freedom. If there's anything that's got you bound up, the Bible says that when we sin, we're a slave to sin. Jesus didn't go to the cross for you to continue in slavery, but to set you free. To set you free. You don't need to let, don't let the enemy intimidate you. Don't let him deceive you. You don't need to be afraid. And maybe you've never come to that place of trusting in Jesus, and you're scared. Because you're trying to walk out your life in your own flesh, and you know it's a mess. God loves you right where you are. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves you. He wants you to know that love by trusting in Jesus. I'm going to pray for us and invite the worship team to come back up. Lord Jesus, we marvel at your love for us. That you would set aside the glory and the majesty and power of heaven to go to a cross in weakness on our behalf, to die in our place, that we could receive the grace of God by trusting in you. Thank you, Lord, that you rose and that you reign today. And that in giving us salvation, Lord, that you give us yourself. And that we can have faith in you and we can trust in you today, God. We know that you are a risen Savior and a living Christ today. And we can be sure that whatever we entrust to you, God, that you are faithful. And so, Lord, we invite you to be in control of our lives. Lord, remove anything that helps or that hinders us walking in the power of your Spirit and knowing your love and knowing you more and being witnesses to others, God. We surrender those things to you, Lord. Take away every fear and every doubt. And Lord, we pray for a brother or sister next to us today who maybe is just doubting for whatever reason whether they're a Christian at all. If they are, Lord, we pray. Give them the faith to receive your word that is your Spirit who testifies to our spirit that we are children of God. Help them to receive that today, Lord. Help them to receive your love and your acceptance. And Lord, we pray for anybody who came in here today that did not know you before, that they would know that you are good, that you do good, that what you offer to us is good news in the gospel, and that you invite whosoever will, anyone, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, to come to you and receive forgiveness and receive cleansing and receive life and to receive your Holy Spirit. And that you are faithful to anyone who will call upon your name, Lord. You are faithful and you will forgive and redeem. Is anybody here today if there's anybody here today who's been walking in darkness, who couldn't help but walk in darkness, but they have heard the message about the Son of God who came to this world and went to that cross as a perfect sacrifice for the sin. If the Holy Spirit is giving you the faith to believe that today, surrender to Him. Receive His unconditional love. Receive His grace. Receive His forgiveness. Jesus made it easy. He just said, if you know you're a great sinner, I'm a great Savior, come to me. He says, ask for that forgiveness and I'll give it and make you new. If that's you today, I just want to ask you to pray in your own words, but pray along with me now. God, I place my trust in you. I'm tired of running my own life. I'm tired of trying to be a good person and failing again and again because of my sin nature. Lord, I want to know what it is to be forgiven and free, be one of your children. I ask and receive right now. Thank you, Lord, that you have forgiven me. Thank you, Lord, that you have drawn me here today to trust in you. And I receive it, Lord. I receive it. I place my trust in you. Thank you for saving me. Help me to walk with you from this day forward. In Jesus' name I ask and receive it. Amen.
Amen.
I need you.
It's like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like a sound of a symphony to my ears. It's like holy water on my skin. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. And I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. 'Cause your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like a sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like a sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water.
Christian life is a journey, it's an adventure, and some of the folks here today took their next step with baptism in that adventure, and they're going to continue on in that adventure, growing in Christ and walking with Him and knowing Him and worshiping Him. And one of the wonderful things about what we receive in Christ is His righteousness.
Amen.
Talk about grace. Wow, the righteousness of the Lord that He sees when He looks at us is so wonderful. But thinking of next steps and baptism, you know, maybe you were here today and for the first time, you put your trust in Jesus. And I don't want to embarrass anybody, but if that's you, could I ask, has anybody done that today, that you've trusted in Christ as your Savior? And I just say that because I would want to give you a next step. I don't want you to think you need to walk this out by yourself.
Yeah.
So if you have, just come and see me, please. If you've trusted in Jesus today as your Savior, come and see me so we can talk about next steps to growing in Christ and walking with Him and knowing Him, loving Him and worshiping Him, and receiving His goodness in your life. So God bless you. I'll turn it over to Brother Danny.
Okay, let's read this together, folks. That was a great service, wasn't it? We enjoyed it. You ready? Okay. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
broken and afraid. This is for those who are hurting, hoping help is on the way.